Friday night, 7 o'clock, we want you all here to celebrate with Arby as he's being ordained. Now, there's 8 people being ordained Friday night here, and Arby's one of our special ones, and so we definitely want to be here and support him. Let's fill the building, and let's have a great time of worship and celebration. Dwayne Deskins, our leader, our bishop, is going to be delivering the message that night, and we're just looking forward to him. Dwayne will be here Sunday morning, also preaching in our service right here on Sunday morning. It's a privilege for us to host an event like this. We're hosting a convention, we're hosting a minister's retreat, and we're hosting this ordination service. And then on Saturday, we're hosting that Teen Talent Expo, and that's just going to, it's not just teen anymore. I always say teen talent because I'm old, but it's that talent expo for like 8 and up. And so come and support that. We don't have a lot of entries, so maybe you would like to enter right now and see Nathan or Johnny and get that done. But if I was younger, I'd be doing it. Lots of categories there. So come support all of that this coming weekend. We're finishing up this series called Limitless. And as I was just thinking about how much God wants us to break out of our limitations. The enemy tries to hold us down, intimidate us, shame us, and just limit us in any and every way possible. This morning, Becky was teaching in our Sunday school class, and she just taught about all these topics where the enemy would like to get a foothold in your life and limit you. And so we've talked about lots of things in 9 weeks, lots of things. That CD, the series is available. If you go to the information center, you can order it, $2 a CD. It'd be like $18 for all 9. You can go online and listen to them for free, and you're sure welcome to do that. But today we're going to conclude it, and the title is Don't Bite the Apple. And we're going all the way back to Genesis, and we're going to talk about the original sin and what limitations that created for humanity and how that sin continues to create limitations in us time after time after time. And Satan is subtle, he's sneaky, he's deceptive. He presents the temptation as something that's beneficial and something good for us, and then we bite the apple and we find out it wasn't so good after all. And so we want to try to help you understand the heart of God in trying to forgive your sin, trying to set you free from the power of sin, and trying to keep you from continuing in sin. Because if he can get you free, if you can understand his heart in that, the sky's the limit. We just take the lid off of our life in so many ways. So God warned Adam and Eve, and he warned Cain, but they continued to ignore God, and they went on to regret the result they received. And I just don't want you and I to be people that ignore God. I don't want you and I listening to the enemy and ignoring God. I think we should listen to God and ignore the enemy. That's what I think. So I'm hoping that we can see that and you can discover that. Genesis chapter 3, we're going to read some verses there. Verse 1, now the serpent was more cunning than any beast of the field that the Lord made. And he said to the woman, has God indeed said, you shall not eat every tree of the garden? And the woman said to the serpent, we may eat of the fruit of the trees of the garden, but of the fruit of the tree which is in the midst of the garden, God has said, you shall not eat it nor touch it, lest you die. And then the serpent said to the woman, you will not surely die. How many times does Satan totally contradict what God says? Totally contradict it. For God knows that in the day that you eat of it, your eyes will be open and you will be like God, knowing good and evil. So Satan loves to contradict God, and then he likes to accuse God of being unjust and being selfish and being a limiter. God is not the limiter. God is the one who will remove limitation from you. Satan is the one who limits us. But he tries to deceive you and think God's trying to limit you. So when the woman saw that the tree was good for food and it was pleasant to the eyes and the tree was desirable to make one wise, she took of its fruit and she ate. She also gave to her husband with her, and he ate. And when the eyes of both of them were opened, they knew that they were naked, and they sewed fig leaves together and made themselves coverings. And they heard the sound of God walking in the garden in the cool of the day, and Adam and his wife hid themselves from the presence of the Lord among the trees of the garden. And the Lord God called to Adam and said, "Where are you?" And he said, "I heard your voice in the garden. I was afraid because I was naked, and I hid myself." And then God said to him, "Who told you that you were naked? Have you eaten from the tree of which I commanded you you should not eat?" And the man said, "The woman that you gave me, the woman that you gave to be with me, she," everything was cool till you gave me that woman, God, you know, "she gave to me of the tree, and I ate." And the Lord God said to the woman, "What have you done?" And the woman said, "The serpent." Everything was cool till the serpent came, Lord. It was the serpent that did it, right? "The serpent deceived me and I ate." And the Lord said to the serpent, "What have you done?" And the serpent said, no, that isn't how it went. And the Lord said to the serpent, "Because you've done this, you are cursed more than all the cattle and the beasts of the field. And on your belly you shall go, and you will eat the dust all the days of your life. And I will put enmity between you and the woman, and between your seed and her seed. He shall bruise your head, and you shall bruise his heel." You see the limitations that just start to come? Even the serpent received a whole bunch of limitations because of being used by the enemy there. So to the woman, he said, "I will greatly multiply your sorrow and your conception, and in pain you will bring forth children desirably for your husband, and he shall rule over you." So there was just so much that goes on there. Satan is a liar and a deceiver. You know, we have that original story of the original sin, and yet we still fall for his tricks time and time and time again. A lot of us sitting right here in this room, or those that will be listening to this message on CD or the internet, a lot of us are believing the enemy instead of believing God. And we're doing things in a way that looks logical and wise to us, but it's contrary to what God says. And that's a dangerous thing, and that's a limiting thing. Sometimes we do that, and then we wonder why life isn't working out, and then we can blame God, and then we're mad at the church, and then we're mad at our spouse, and then we're mad at the world, and mad at everybody except Satan who did it, who created it, who started it all. It's crazy, but it seems like we keep going around and around and around. Never believe anything that comes out of Satan's mouth. He twists things, he accuses God and everyone else, and all he wants to do is destroy you. You just got to know that Satan wants to destroy you. You. He wants to limit you and destroy you. God loves you. God wants to set you free. God wants to give you abundant life and eternal life. Satan wants to destroy you. But if you don't have that crystal clear in your heart, you'll continue to take bites out of the apple and believe what the enemy says instead of what God says. Three danger points that we see here, and if you look at 1 John 2, 15 through 17, it talks about this again. Eve looked at it and said, "This looks good for food." She looked at it again and said, "This is pleasant to the eyes. It seems pleasant to me." And then the third thing she looked at and she said, "This has the potential to make me wise." And so she ate it. In 1 John chapter 2, it says, you shouldn't love the world. You shouldn't love the things that are in the world. And it says that everything that's in the world involves the lust of the eyes, the lust of your heart or your flesh, and the pride of life. And I know those are kind of big concepts, the lust of the eyes, the lust of the flesh and the pride of life. But these are the three avenues that Satan tempts us and baits us. He baits us in these three areas: the lust of our eyes, the lust of our flesh, and the pride of our life. And Eve said, it looks good, it's beautiful, it looks like it's food, it has the potential to make me wise, I'm going to believe Satan instead of God. And she found out too late that Satan was a liar. Do you guys know that Satan's a liar? I know that in our world, there's that issue of what is truth. And people think truth is relative, and people think truth can't be determined. And they don't want to believe that God speaks truth, so they want to try to define truth situationally in their experiences and in their needs and desires. But that's when the lust of the flesh and the lust of the eyes and the pride of life twist and manipulates information to get you to think something's true that's not true. There is only one standard, and a lot of people don't believe this, but there has to be only one standard. There has to be a standard. And the God that created us loves us and is telling us the truth, and he's creating the standard. I love the verse in the Bible that says, let God be true and every man a liar. That means if a man says something contrary to what God says, God's true and the man is a liar. That helps clarify stuff for me. It's not situational, it's not generational, it's not archaic old thoughts versus new trendy thoughts. It's let God be true, and anything that disagrees with what God says is false. And our enemy loves to twist and manipulate all of that. So we have to be careful. A question at the end of this whole section is, who are you blaming for your bite out of the apple? Adam said, it was the woman. And the woman said, it was the serpent. Who are you blaming for all these bites you're taking out of the apple? Or maybe you guys, maybe it's other people that take bites out of the apple and none of you. Maybe. You need to be careful when you start pointing fingers and blaming. But isn't that normal for human beings? We don't want to take personal responsibility. We want to blame. It's the woman, it's the serpent, everything was cool till they come along. Be careful pointing fingers and blaming. Be careful about that. Look at Genesis chapter 4, verse 3. Cain was the first son in the Bible, and he ends up killing his brother Abel, the first murderer that goes on. And here's the story of how that happened in the early piece of what's going on there. Verse 3, in the process of time, it came to pass that Cain brought an offering of the fruit of the ground to the Lord, and Abel also brought the firstborn of his flock of the fat. And the Lord respected Abel and his offering, but he did not respect Cain and his offering. And Cain was very angry, and his countenance fell. So we got Cain and Abel. One of them, God said, you did good. That's exactly what I wanted. The other one, God said, that's not what I wanted, and I don't accept that. And Cain got ticked off. He got angry. He got all upset. His countenance fell. He was depressed. This was before Prozac, so he didn't have any relief, but he was all depressed and all upset and all super angry. And God spoke to him. Look what God said to him. And the Lord said to Cain, why are you angry, and why is your countenance fallen? If you do well, will you not be accepted? And if you do not well, then sin lies at the door, and its desire is for you, but you should rule over it. So God's saying, Cain, you're at a crossroad here, and you've started down the wrong road. Let me correct you. Let me teach you truth from error. Let me teach you right from wrong. And if you do right, if you do what's true, you will be accepted. This is not a permanent condition. My displeasure in your wrong action is not a permanent condition. And I hope you know that about God, that you can fail and you will fail, and occasionally you'll bite the apple. Occasionally you will do that, but that's not a permanent condition that you have to stay in, because God told Cain the same thing he continues to tell us. Hey, Kelly, if you do well, you will be accepted. But if you don't do well, sin is lying at your door, and sin desires to rule over you, but you're supposed to rule over it. Man, when I'm reading that, I'm going, Lord, does sin rule over me in any area of my life, or am I ruling over it? Am I following the enemy's deceptive, tempting plans and stiff-arming the Holy Spirit? Or am I embracing what the Holy Spirit says and stiff-arming what Satan says? Which am I doing? And sometimes I'm doing that differently in different areas of my life. Sometimes I'm cool with God over here, but I'm a little self-absorbed over in another spot. But sin always limits us. Sin always limits us. Every single time. You're supposed to rule over it, but if you do not rule over it, it will definitely rule over you. Cain ended up not doing well. He ended up ignoring God. He ended up being so mad and jealous and envious over his brother having acceptance from God and him not having acceptance from God, that he killed his brother. He actually murdered his brother. His anger got the best of him and went all the way to murder. At the end, I want to talk to you about a phrase of what sin will do, and it happened to Cain. Hopefully, you won't let it happen to you. So be waiting for that at the end here. What I really, really want to emphasize to you is do not bite the apple. And here's another phrase. The apple bites back. I have a couple of photos I wanted to show you that might illustrate that a little bit. The apple bites back. That's why I don't eat apples, right there. I love my thumb. Let's look at the next photo. Oh, yeah. If sin looked like that, none of us would bite it. I mean, right? Well, some of us maybe are that rebellious, we'd try to nibble around the spikes. But most of us would not bite that. What about the last photo here? Oh, there's one with a snake coming out of it going to bite you. That's a pretty good image of what happens when you bite the apple. Sin is so limiting, and it will mess you up so much. Cain could have totally had a different outcome. Judas Iscariot, who betrayed Jesus and went and hung himself, was at the end of his rope, like Arby said last Sunday. Could have had a total different outcome. The 11 disciples, the other 11, they ended up recovering and having a different outcome. In the New Testament, the Apostle Paul was Saul of Tarsus, and he was a murderer of Christians who God corrected his thinking, and he became the Apostle Paul. He had a different outcome because he had bitten the apple, but once he realized that he was wrong, he repented and followed what was right with all of his heart, with all of his heart. Kelly Lineberry has bitten the apple in the past. but repented and tried to discover what was right and follow that instead of what was wrong. And a lot of you, you're on the right path. I mean, you guys are trying to live for God. And a message like this hopefully will just encourage you even more to stay away from sin and let you understand how limiting sin is and how destructive it is in our life. So don't be tricked into biting the apple again. I was listening to an interview of a rock and roll guitar player on Guitar Center program. And I watch a little bit of that because I want to learn how to play the electric guitar. So I'm watching these guys that play the electric guitar really well. And the interview was interesting. They were praising this lady for the boldness of her lyrics. And they said, nobody before you was ever so bold to write. And I didn't know who she was, and I didn't know anything about the songs that she had written. But they said, you were kind of a forerunner in that. And of course, I know as a rock and roll person, if they're praising her for boldness of lyrics, it's probably not lyrics I want to listen to, right? Probably not something I want to listen to. That's probably why I'd never heard of her before, and I'd never heard of her songs before. She made this statement. She was really happy to receive that praise, and she said, yeah, I'm not afraid to take a bite out of any apple. I go, ooh. I mean, as soon as I heard that, I go, ooh, lady, you are in dangerous territory when you make a phrase, a biblical reference to not being afraid to rebel against God or do anything that was forbidden in the past and try to make a new definition of right and wrong. She was trying to redefine right and wrong and take a bite out of that apple. And I thought, boy, I think I know some people that could have made that same statement. I'm not afraid to take a bite out of any apple. I know some people that are pretty proud and they're pretty arrogant about the boldness that they have towards sin, towards being their own person. And I would just caution you to be bold in some other area of life. Don't be bold in your willingness to take a bite out of any apple. Be bold in your willingness to follow God in spite of what the world says, in spite of how it is not politically correct to follow Jesus. Do it anyway. I would encourage you to be bold that way instead of the way that this person was. I want to take you to the New Testament and look at some specific apples that Jesus and Paul warned us about not biting. Matthew chapters 5 through 7 is the Sermon on the Mount. It's a beautiful piece of work where Jesus was able to reveal the true heart of God. Religion had messed up people's idea of who God was and what God was like and what God wanted. The scribes and Pharisees and the Jewish church of the day had really come a long way from the true heart of God. God sent Jesus to give us a clear image of who he was and what his heart was like. That's why we all love Jesus so much. It's like, I love a guy that heals. I love a guy that is kind. I love a guy that breaks the rules in order to save people's lives. I love Jesus. I love that. Well, Jesus teaches in the Sermon on the Mount what's right and what's wrong, what's true and what's not true. And he challenges religious beliefs. And he challenges beliefs of his day. And I thought, man, sometimes I think if Jesus was going to preach a Sermon on the Mount in 2014, what would that sound like? Hopefully it sounds like what a lot of preachers say from pulpits. Hopefully we are the voice of the Holy Spirit, and the Holy Spirit's using us to speak into our world, hopefully. And I know he does with many of us. So that Sermon on the Mount, It starts with the Beatitudes. You guys remember the Beatitudes? Blessed are the, and it just gives you this list of people who are blessed. And it's pretty, it's strange, actually. We don't think those are the blessed people. When Jesus says, blessed are those who mourn, blessed are those that are persecuted. We're going, wait a minute. Those aren't the people that I think are blessed. But Jesus is saying, you're blessed if you're this group of people. And when you look at that, you realize that those people are not apple biters. It's not the apple biters that are blessed. It's the people that aren't biting the apples that are blessed. It's the people that maybe they're going through some stuff, but they're hanging on to their faith, and they're believing in God, and they're keeping their attitude right, and they're keeping their heart right, and God's with them, and God's helping them, and God's supporting them, and they're not trying to do it on their own, and they're not trying to do it their own way. They're patiently, faithfully following God and His will for their life, and these are blessed people. And so Jesus talks about that, those that are poor in spirit, those that are mourning, the meek, the hungry, the merciful, the pure in heart, the peacemakers, the persecuted. These are the people that are blessed. These are not the apple biters. But he goes on and he talks about the apple biters in some of the rest of the Sermon on the Mount. And he says the apple biters are the haters, the people that hate without a cause. The people that call people names, those are apple biters. If you're calling people names, derogatory names, and Jesus deals with that. You shouldn't be calling people. Don't say you're a fool. Don't be saying that. Sometimes when I'm mad at somebody, I call you Nimrod. I was just reading that in our daily Bible reading last week, and I'm going, man, Nimrod was like one of the most evil, first evil people on the planet, you know, the mighty hunter and all of that. And I'm thinking, I probably shouldn't be calling people Nimrod. You should call them something else. I'll have to think of a better name now. But it's the name callers sometimes that are the apple. Some of you guys call people worse than that. Don't be pointing a finger at me, right? I probably do too sometimes. The apple biters are the ones with eyes full of lust. And Jesus talks about lust. It's not that if you commit the sin that you're guilty. It's if you think about it, you're guilty. If you have eyes and a heart full of lust, you're an apple biter. Those who refuse to honor their marriage vows, they're apple biters. Those who are revenge seekers. He says, turn the other cheek. Go the extra mile. If they're suing you, trying to take your shirt, give them your coat also. Like, wow, that's radical. I know that's radical. But the people that are revenge seekers, those are the apple biters. The people that are fighting, the people that are stingy, the people that are greedy, the ones who hate, the ones who isolate instead of love, instead of blessing their enemy, they hate their enemy. They isolate from their enemy instead of loving their enemy. Those are apple biters. The ones who only do good when people are watching, but they don't really have a good heart. Those are the apple biters. They're the ones who store up treasure on earth, but they don't store up any treasure in heaven. That's an apple biter. I don't have time to talk about all this because it would take another 9 weeks to break all this down, right? The ones who live for self-gratification and just live for the moment instead of living for the good results long-term, those are apple biters. Eve, for the moment, thought that looked really good. She bit the apple, it ruined her life. And sometimes we do something that looks good for the moment, feels good for the moment, but it limits us. See, we're talking about limitless. We're talking about living a life where we take the limitations off of ourselves and let God remove limitations from us so that we can go fulfill our destiny and have that great, abundant life that He promised. Apple biters are full of worry. They don't know God will take care of them. They think they have to take care of themselves. They think they got to pull themselves up by their own bootstraps. They think that if they don't have any way, and if they can't see any way, and if they can't manipulate any way, they're all worried about that instead of having faith and confidence that God's with them, and God's the one that makes up the stuff in the equation for us, and God's the one that is the difference maker. Instead of that, the apple biter is worried, and so they're manipulating, and they're organizing out here, and they're trying to get everything going their way, and they're doing wrong things. in that process. They're apple biters. They judge others harshly for the smallest things. Jesus said, you have a beam in your eye, but you're all worried about somebody that's got a little splinter in their eye. He says, you're judging people harshly for the smallest things, and you don't see the junk that's in your own life. You're an apple biter. Of course, we're just talking about all them other people out there, right? None of us, right? You guys are really quiet this morning. It usually happens when I talk about sin. It's like, and the crowd goes silent. I don't blame you. I'm a little intimidated myself with this topic. You know why you feel intimidated? Because you don't want to disappoint God, and you don't want to be a hypocrite, and you don't want to be doing what's wrong. And then when you're reading the Word, you're thinking and you're challenging yourself about some of your habits and some of your actions and some of your ideas. Well, that's a good thing. It's okay. Apple biters don't realize that the Father gives only good gifts to us, and they can wholeheartedly trust Him. Jesus goes into, if you ask the Father for a good gift, He's not going to give you a rock. You ask Him for an egg, He's not going to give you a serpent. Some people are so afraid of the Holy Spirit. It's like, ooh, the Holy Spirit. But this topic is totally, Jesus is saying, and it's weird that this is 2,000 plus years ago, and we still are dealing with the same thing. Jesus says, I'm giving you the Holy Spirit, and you're coming into the dispensation of the Holy Spirit, and I want you to be filled with the Holy Spirit. But yet there's people that think the gift of God can be something bad instead of something good. And Jesus says, I'm not going to give you a rock when you're asking for bread. I'm not going to give you a serpent when you're asking for an egg. I'm going to give you a good gift, and you can trust me. But apple biters think that God's gifts may not be good gifts. And we have theological reasons for it, but Jesus is trying right here to pave the way for you to go ahead and trust God and what He says in the New Testament about the Holy Spirit and the dispensation of the Holy Spirit. The apple biters think there's a broad path that leads to life, and most any way will work and get you there. Those are apple biters. Oh, it can't be only Jesus. It can't be that narrow. But Jesus said the way is narrow. It's narrow. Straight and narrow. The way to destruction is broad and wide. But apple biters think it's opposite. They think that the way to destruction is really narrow. You got to be like Charles Manson to go there. Some of you are going, Charles who? Googling. Maybe you don't want to. I don't know. But there's a lot of people that go opposite of what God said with that. The way to hell and destruction is narrow and tiny. Only the worst of the worst of the worst of the worst ever have to worry about going there. And the way to life is broad, and there's so many easy ways to get there. But Jesus said it's the exact opposite. There's only one way to have eternal life, and it's through Jesus Christ. And I know that in our modern mindset, that doesn't sound right with political correctness. It doesn't sound right. And I know the enemy and the way of the world is really embracing just everybody's okay. Everything's valid. I know that our society embraces that. But that's an apple biter philosophy. The cool thing is that it may be narrow, but it's pretty easy to follow Jesus and find Jesus. It's really easy. He so loves you that He gave His only begotten Son, that whosoever believes in Him should not perish, but could have everlasting life. That's pretty easy. It really is pretty easy. Apple biters build their house on the sand. And remember that last story that Jesus tells in the Sermon on the Mount? It says, those that hear my word but don't do my word, they are like people that build their house on the sand. And when the rain comes and it beats on their house, great will be the fall of that house. But the people that hear my word and do that, those people build their house on a rock, and the storm comes and the rain beats on that house and it stands. See, we want you to build your house on a rock, to where whatever comes or goes, the phrase that we use is come hell or high water, your house will stand. But if you're an apple biter, if you're a habitual apple biter, your house is not going to stand. You're going to be so limited. You're going to be so deceived. And we want to remove that limitation from you. We really do. We really want you having that amazing, great life that God's promised you. In Galatians chapter 5, the New Living Translation, Paul gives us another list of apple biters. Maybe I'll read it off the screen. Maybe. That's a cool sign, though. Maybe I'll read it off my iPad. So Galatians 5:16. So I say, let the Holy Spirit guide your lives. Then you won't be doing what your sinful nature craves. So he's talking about live by the Holy Spirit. The sinful nature wants to do evil, which is opposite of what the Spirit wants. And the Spirit gives us desires that are opposite of what the sinful nature desires. These two forces are constantly fighting each other, so you are not free to carry out your good intentions. Anybody notice a battle going on inside of you? Anybody? I notice a battle going on inside of me. My spirit wants this and my flesh wants that. It seems like these apples are rolling in front of me all the time. There goes an apple. There goes an apple. And my flesh wants to grab it and bite it, but my spirit says, no, 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 don't bite the apple. And there's this war. My pastor said there's a black dog and a white dog battling inside of me. You say, well, which one wins? Whichever one I say sick 'em to. And if you say sick 'em to your flesh, you're going to be an apple biter. But if you say sick 'em to your spirit, then you can resist those lies and deceptions and avoid the limitation that comes with that. It says, but when you are directed by the Spirit, you're not under the obligation to the law of Moses. When you follow the desires of your sinful nature, the results are very clear. Look at this list of apple biters here. Sexual immorality. Guys, is there any of that going on around us? Sexual immorality. That's an apple biter. Impurity. Lustful pleasures. Idolatry. We could talk about defining that. Sorcery. Do you know that sorcery and the occult and your horoscopes and all those other things that would fall into that category, fortune telling and psychics, readings and tarot cards and all of that, that's an apple biter thing. You don't want to be involved in that. Sorcery. Hostility. Any hostility around you in the world? A little hostility? That's an apple biter. Quarreling. Any quarreling going on? People that are just constantly quarreling. Apple biter. Jealousy, apple biter. Outburst of anger. Oh, everybody has a little anger. Yeah, but not everybody has this toxic anger. That's a work of your flesh. And if you think these things are okay, then you're biting the apple. It's one thing to be battling them and most of the time overcoming them. That's one thing. But to think that they're okay and to not battle it and not resist it, that's a whole different thing. That's a whole different thing. outburst of anger, selfish ambition, dissension, and division. In two Sundays, we're going to start a brand new series called Undivided, The Power of Unity. I'm so excited about it. We're going to be talking about your heart being undivided. We're going to talk about your home life being undivided and having unity and harmony there. We're going to talk about the church life, business life. We're going to just talk about how that works everywhere, the power of unity. Anybody do your Bible reading this week and read about the Tower of Babel and how that God said, now that they're united with one language, nothing will be impossible for them? And I was just going, ooh, that goes into that limitless thing. When there's unity and harmony, nothing's impossible in your marriage, with your children, in your business, in your life, in the church world. When there's harmony and unity, nothing's impossible. But Satan comes in to bring dissension and division in order to limit your marriage, your home, your church, your business life, your community life. Satan likes to create dissension and division. Envy, drunkenness, wild parties, and other sins like these. So these are apple biter lists right here. And he said there's a whole bunch more. Aren't you glad he just didn't name it all? There's a whole bunch more. Listen to this part of the verse. Let me tell you again, as I have before, that anyone living that sort of a life will not inherit the kingdom of God. You know who wrote this? The Apostle Paul. The guy who talks about grace. The guy who talks about never falling. The same guy that talks about grace talks about if you're habitually involved in this stuff, and if you think this stuff's okay and normal, you won't go to heaven. Those are strong words, aren't they? Now, is that limiting or what? You know, one of Satan's biggest limitations is he wants you to die and go to hell and never experience the love of God and the eternal life that he has promised for you and provided for you. That's one of the biggest limitations. I often think, if I can just get myself to heaven, it's going to be okay, you know. If I can just hang on and get to heaven, this 80 years down here is not going to be that big of a deal. Because eternity is huge and important. And if we can look at life from a long-term perspective and say, I don't want to be the apple biter that thinks that those things and those lists are okay and normal, and I shouldn't be overcoming that, or I shouldn't be working on getting victory over that. I don't want to be that apple biter that ends up losing my eternal soul because I believed the enemy and was deceived by the enemy instead of believing what God says. So, and there's lots of other lists in the Bible, but I just really wanted to bring that out and let you see some of that. Here's the cool thing. The Holy Spirit lives in us today to help us avoid the little temptations of Satan and his deadly tricks. You're not alone. You're not on your own. We have a greater resource today than Christians in the past have had, because we have the Holy Spirit dwelling inside of us, living in us. If you're saved, the Holy Spirit lives inside of you. If you've accepted Jesus Christ as your Savior, the Bible says that your body's the temple of the Holy Spirit. You're not alone. He's right there inside of you. So there's a power and a resource and a counselor and someone that will guide you to help you through that maze of deception that the enemy has out here called our world. So that's the very cool thing for us. We don't have to bite the apple. Here's another cool thing. You don't have to sin. The slavery of sin was broken through Jesus Christ. You don't have to sin anymore. It doesn't mean you won't ever. It just means you don't have to. What it means is when you sin now, you do it because you want to, willingly, versus because you have to and you don't have a choice. After you meet Jesus Christ and you're saved, he breaks the power of sin. You're a new creature. The old things pass away. All things become new. So that's an awesome thing. When I think about don't bite the apple, I don't want to tell you to do something that's impossible for you to do. I want you to know it's very possible for you to resist sin. It's very possible for you to get victory over sin. And Jesus came to give you that. He really did come to give you that. So we don't have to bite the apple. We're free from the slavery of sin. We can bite the apple if we want to. God hasn't pulled our teeth. I watch some people that they don't have good teeth, so they peel the apple, and slice the apple, and dice the apple, and they go to a lot of effort to eat the apple. And I watch some people do that with sin. They go to a lot of effort to ingest their sin. Sometimes we're capable of biting each other. And I thought there's a phrase maybe we should have around here that says, don't bite, it's not polite. Maybe we should have that phrase around here. I mean, I've told that to little kids, right? Maybe we should have that in the church world too. Don't bite, it's not polite. Biting forbidden things will not give you the results you want. Here's that phrase that I wanted you to wait for and listen for. Sin will take you farther than you want to go. It'll make you pay more than you want to pay, and it'll keep you longer than you want to stay. A lot of times the sin looks so tempting, and for the moment it looks gratifying, but it'll take you farther than you want to go. It'll make you pay much more than you wanted to pay, and it'll keep you so much longer than you ever wanted to stay. That's the bite that the apple has back at you. So I wanted to leave you with a few images today. This first one, maybe you'll recognize these images. Let's just put the first one up there. Yeah, you recognize that image? And I often thought that if we could just see Satan holding the apple, we wouldn't take it. But Snow White still bit the apple, that silly girl. I'm not sure what was up with her. And then look at what the witch says. One bite, and all your dreams will come true. And we believe the ugly witch. We believe her. What's the next one? What happens when you bite? Oh, Snow White, the apple's so beautiful. All of my dreams will come true with one bite. I want my dreams to come true. So I'm going to bite the apple. And what happens when she, oh, she bit the apple and she died. Oh, she didn't? She was severely limited, though. She was in a coma. A deep coma. Look at the dwarfs around her while she's in her coma. She's in ICU there. They're praying, God, help Snow White, wake her up. We miss her so bad. And not only was the dwarfs upset, look at everything else. All of the woodland creatures were upset. She's in her casket. It looks like it's over. It looks like, some of you guys know the end of the story. If you don't, you can, you know, Netflix it later. But and then the Prince Charming, he's a little bummed. It's like, ah, oh, I thought I found the girl. That stupid apple. It was the apple, right? But what did Prince Charming do? Anybody know? He kissed her. There, mwah. And she woke up out of her coma. And you know, Satan will tempt you to bite the apple, and you will experience paralysis and coma and severe limitation in so many areas of your life. But here's the cool thing. Jesus is Prince Charming. And he's going to show up, and he's going to kiss you back to life. I'm so glad Prince Charming didn't go, whack, 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 come on, wake up, you silly little girl. I told you not to bite the apple. Couldn't you see the wart on the witch's nose and know she was evil? What's the matter with you? There was not a bunch of condemnation, but Prince Charming just showed up, kissed her. Do you know that Jesus kisses you? Do you know that he loves you? Do you know that when you've bitten the apple, he wants to wake you up? So let me just conclude a couple sentences. God loves you. He's trying to protect you and bless you. Listen to him and don't bite the apple. If you've bitten the apple, God's coming to kiss you back to life. Wake up and live happily ever after with the one who loves you most. Amen? Amen. Amen. God loves you most. Hey, the ushers are going to come. Would you get your Connect cards out today? Some of you are not participating in our Connect card campaign, but we would love you, everyone, to do this. And there are several things on there that you can connect with. And if you're a first-time guest with us, we